Good Tuesday morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on this week's episode is 514, our anniversary review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest from 1975, celebrating its 50th anniversary. There are no films to get to for your DVD Tuesday for November the 18th, so we're going to dive straight away inside of music to get your morning started. We're going to hear Living Hour with the track Wheel off of the album Eternal Drone Infinity, and then American Lips with the track Harbor Trash from the album On Strike. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal.
Did you? Yeah.
Hey, this is Remy from At the Movies once again, and we are celebrating Cigello this week because we have come out of one of the most successful funding drives of all time inside of Cigello history, raising more than our expected goal of $15,000, and it was due to the donations that came into the station. Not only that, but the donations that went towards Cigello, but also through At the Movies as well, too, that we had certain donors that donated to the Cigello funding drive, and they selected to champion At the Movies. And we want to champion them because some of them had not heard the request yet onto the DJ Rain live request hour. So here we go for the hard hustle that Cigello put in, and also for the hard hustles of all those donations that we got into. We get to a request here from the DJ Rain live request hour, or not so live request hour, Marc-Antoine the Don Pinard, who donated to the Cigello funding drive once again this year. We played one of his requests, but he also wanted to hear Rick Ross with Hustlin', which I truly feel that it's meriting, because Cigello 1690 AM, we put off a great hustle this year for a Cigello funding draft. So here it is, clean version of Rick Ross Hustlin'.
Miami, the Playboy's paradise. Pretty girls, fast cars. That's just a facade. The bridge separates South Beach from my Miami. The real Miami, the MIA. This is where we hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm, every day I'm hustling.
Who you suckers think you're tripping with? Yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat, I keep them coming back. We keep on coming back. I'm in the distribution, I'm like Atlantic. I got them pretty things flying across the Atlantic. I know Pablo Noriega, the real Noriega. He owe me 100 favors. I ain't petty player, we buy the whole thing. See, most of my homies hustle, they still do their thing. My roof back, my money ride. I'm on the pedal, show you what I'm running like. When they snatch black, I cry for 100 nights. He got 100 bodies, serving 100 lights.
Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm, every day I'm.
We never steal cars, but we hard. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. I call the charge, I call the charge. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. Ain't about no funny stuff, still flipping them chickens. I'm on my money stuff, still whipping them Benzes. Major League, who catching because I'm pitching. Jose Canseco just snitching because he finished. I feed them steroids to strengthen up all my chickens. They flying over Pacifics to be specific. Triple C's, you know it's fact. We holdin' sack. So big and gon' rap. Run and tell them that. More cars. More O's. More clothes. More.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day.
Time to spin my thrills, custom spinning wheels. I ain't drove in a week, them shit is standing still. Talk about me, cause these suckers scared to talk about me. Killers talking about me, it ain't no talk about me. It ain't no walking around me. See all these killers around me, lot of around me going down in dead county. Don't talk no 22s, cost me 22. Sat it on a 22. The mama super thin, she say she 22, she seen them 22, we in room 222, I touch work like I'm convertible birth.
got distribution, so I'm converting the work. In the M-I-A-O, switch off, yeah, yo, my shit been banging, yo.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm.
And welcome back here to now listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLA 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Take a look at the new scores and soundtracks to film right now. We're going to look at Chainsaw Man Reze Arc. Music there composed by Kensuke Ishio. We're going to hear the tracks In the Pool, and then we're going to hear Sweet Danger. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLA 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Thank you.
Kensuke Ishio there with the tracks from Chainsaw Man Reseyar in the Pool and also Sweet Danger. You're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get to Max Richter now with his score for Hamnet. The film comes out later on. We're going to hear the track, though, of the sky from Hamnet, music there composed by Max Richter. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Thank you. The market here isn't the same anymore. It's half the rate, twice the work. But I got you a gig and the pay is actually pretty good.
What's my part?
So, what do you think we do here?
We sell emotion.
How?
We play roles in the clients' lives. Parents, siblings, boyfriends, girlfriends, best friends, and help them connect to what's missing.
Yeah, I'm just an actor. I don't know how to help people.
What I'm offering here is a chance to play roles with real meaning.
What do you need me for?
We need a talking white guy. This girl needs a father.
Hi, Mia. I'm your father.
I'm your father.
Hello, Mia. I'm your father.
I hate you.
She hates me.
It's what being a parent is.
A little bit of the trailer there for the new film coming out starring Brendan Fraser called Rental Family. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Also out for November the 21st, you have Wicked for Good. This would be the sequel to the Wicked film that came out last year. And then you also have Sisu Road to Revenge. That one also comes out this year as well too, and it is a sequel. So two sequels and one original film, Rental Family, starring Brendan Fraser. That is your Cinematic Fridays for November the 21st. I'll remind you once again, you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, all you heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Danny and I taking a look at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest from 1975, celebrating its 50th anniversary. So on this week's episode, we will be discussing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest from 1975, celebrating its 50th anniversary, from directors Milos Forman. So a petty criminal fakes insanity to serve his sentence in a mental ward rather than prison. This is McMurphy, played by Jack Nicholson. He soon finds himself as the leader to the other patients and an enemy to the cruel, domineering Nurse Ratchet, who is also inside this film. And the performance that the actress who plays Nurse Ratchet gives is celebrated as like one of the top villains.
rightfully so, because this was a character who was not suited for her job position, and that's putting it mildly.
Okay, I just want to get the actress's name before we start here.
Louise Fletcher.
Louise Fletcher, okay. So Louise Fletcher plays Nurse Ratchet, who is a domineering, cruel nurse, and who runs the ward to these patients. So I guess that we can talk about the conflict between institutional control, the human individuality, as one of the themes of the first film. So I feel that the encapsulation of both the beginning and ending of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the film opens up with the great outdoors, and the film closes with the great outdoors as well too. So I feel that that's like a great bookend to talk about like institutional control and human individuality.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Well, in terms of institutional control, when McMurphy was committed to the institution and was being asked questions, these questions were in regards to his experience in job positions, why he wasn't able to keep a job. And one of those reasons was that he would refuse to take orders from his bosses, or
exactly. He considers himself a marvel of modern science, but he says that he wants to cooperate. We see the control, the institutional control, coming forward during medication time when Nurse Ratchet introduces that to the patients. McMurphy defies the authority of Nurse Ratchet. A little change and a little variety, seeing the World Series on the television, and they vote twice for this, right? So the inside versus the outside world. McMurphy thinks he can leave or escape at any time at will. That's what he thinks, I feel. That nothing's holding him back.
Well, that's most certainly the impression that that you get from him. Well, it was actually it was after the time he had medication forced on him that he made a bet with the other inmates that he would be able to lift the fountain off the ground and then take it and smash the window so they could all escape.
Mm-hmm.
What I find fascinating after the attempt is, of course, he's unsuccessful, but he says, at least I tried. When he says that, you get the impression that he's trying to encourage the other inmates in some way, shape, or form.
The human individuality coming out from that scene as a individual expression of oneself, of setting oneself free. However, as one of the orderlies puts it to McMurphy, you're going to stay with us until we let you go. And then we can talk about how the institutional control beat out human individuality when it comes to some of the procedures that were taking place inside of these institutions, such as the shock therapy or the dreaded or the horrid lobotomies that these patients would go through.
Just a means to get them to make it easier for them to cooperate and use them as puppets, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Instead of expressing their own human individuality, whether that comes from different things. I think that it was Mr. Cheswick, remember? When Cheswick argues with Nurse Ratched for his cigarettes, finally, that I feel is an expression of human individuality, where he wanted his cigarettes specifically, and Nurse Ratched was holding them, and she didn't want to give it to him.
Miss Ratched, well, in that scene, she, of how pushy she really was, how she abused her authority. Cause, I mean, because it was a simple request that Cheswick was asking for, and Cheswick even said at some point, "Stop treating me like a little kid. I just want my cigarettes."
Let's talk about the subjective nature of sanity versus insanity inside this film. So I'm gonna lead away here with spoiler talk. If you haven't seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you might want to pause this review right now, because heavy spoilers are inside of effect right now. So, spoilers, some of the men are here voluntarily in the ward, and they don't want to check out because they are afraid of the outside world.
Well, you get the impression they're afraid of the outside world because they're afraid to be judged for the quirks. We have Billy Bibbit, for example, who had a stuttering problem. Cheswick, going back to Cheswick, you could tell struggles heavily with anxiety. Harding, you get the impression he struggles with paranoia because he was talking about a lot about how he thinks his wife was cheating on him.
Mm-hmm. True. So some of them feel that McMurphy is faking insanity to get out of his work detail. So what is better for the person's sanity? The group sessions with Nurse Ratched or baseball therapy, as McMurphy says? So McMurphy, they come to the conclusion that he has no signs of mental illness, but he is, in fact, dangerous, not only to the other patients, but also to himself as well, too.
This is a good example of how people are labeled insane for the wrong reasons. You take somebody who struggles with anxiety or somebody who has a stuttering problem, that's not a sign of insanity. Those are quirks. Those are personality traits. With a stuttering problem. I mean, yeah, it's a struggle that somebody has. Like, for example, somebody who has ADHD or somebody who's a danger to society, I would argue is insane.
Another thematic that comes up inside of the film would be the emasculation of men in modern society. My question for you before we go into the theme is, does Nurse Ratched emasculate the men she works with and the patients?
Absolutely.
So we see this early on because Mr. Harding feels that his wife is looking elsewhere and he feels cheated. And then, like, Nurse Ratched has, like, that there's no men inside of this ward with an opinion on the matter. And then she goes on further than that inside of another therapy session about when Billy is trying to talk about this girl that he met. And Billy, did you tell the girl how you felt about her? And Billy didn't want to talk. And Nurse Ratched presses him until somebody interjects.
As I recall, she mentioned did you mention did you mention she said to Billy, did you mention this to your mother? I remember when I heard that, I thought to myself, wow, it's really none of your business asking that.
And then she kind of catches Billy inside of his own lie at the very end that there was never a girl involved. So that could be one of the signs of emasculation that she tries to get to the men. But it's various other things as well, too, that she does to emasculate them. Part of which is not playing into McMurphy and his control over the group. So we get to another theme right now, shame and societal pressure. So one of the big characters that I truly appreciate from the film is Chief. And at the very beginning of the film, there's like this stereotype or the social pressure or shame where the people go to McMurphy, oh, he's deaf and dumb. However, the more that you watch the film, the more that you realize that Chief is really somebody who's important, not only to the group, but to McMurphy as well too. So yeah, when McMurphy comes in, you see that it's like a collective group. Maybe each of these members have a type of shame, or they deal with the societal pressures, but they're like a collective group, and that's what when they all meet with Nurse Ratched, it's like a collective group.
Going back to what I was saying about how Nurse Ratched, she has she has no empathy. As a matter of fact, well, it's easy to argue that McMurphy had more empathy with these people than Nurse Ratched did, because you talk about the scene where they all escape and they take that boat and go fishing. He was trying to encourage them to discover their own personal skills. That was his special way of showing empathy towards them.
I think that we're going to take a break right here, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other themes of the film that the film presents itself. You're once again tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, all you heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We are continuing our anniversary review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Sexuality and Freedom. So the 1960s leading into the 70s, so there was like the type of sexual revolution of the time. However, maybe this was like at the 70s, it was coming to a little bit of close there. You had the illusion of sexual problems, which are present inside of the ward because you see that with Billy. Not only that, but you see that with Mr. Harding too. He's dealing with his own problems as well too. However, you have like the strong libido, I guess you would say, of McMurphy. You see that early on when he presents the card deck to the group of men, But not only that, but when he goes out onto the day trip and he brings his girl Candy. And then we have the hospital turning into a nightclub at the very end of the film, with Scatman Crothers saying, like, I don't want none of this nightclub.
Well, with the McMurphy character in the, I mean, with the it's more appropriate to call Candy his girl and not his girlfriend because near the end he said, no, I'm not going to marry her. She's not my girlfriend. She's just a girl that I have fun with.
So there's also the afraid of marriage and commitment. We see that with Billy, and Nurse Ratched brings that up, and she probably emasculates Billy there too, because then they have to talk about the first time that Billy tried to commit suicide.
Precisely. Well, near, I mean, near the end, she Ratchet once again uses Billy's mother as a crutch.
We see a sense of freedom between McMurphy's medication time and Nurse Ratched's medication time, both of those two ones. But not only that, but McMurphy versus Miss Ratched's daily routines of what McMurphy wants to happen. Just watch the World Series versus Nurse Ratched. Oh, just put on the music, everybody takes their medication, and they all are copacetic and calm.
Well, during the time I was watching the movie, to me, all the mental patients and Nurse Ratched, it was like a classroom full of students with a really bad teacher.
That could be one of the reasons. Like, maybe that's why Louise Fletcher is like the villain character for Miss Ratched, because she's like just a bad teacher, and maybe she's misunderstood, that she doesn't know how to do her job well. That makes her the villain. But she has to know how to do her job well because she's in charge of this hospital, kind of, and of these patients.
You mentioned her being the villain. It's a at some point when Harding was talking about him suspecting his wife cheating on him, she attempts to vilify to make Harding the villain, saying, "Well, maybe it's be you ever thought that maybe you're not patient enough with her."
Not only that, but she makes other people out to be the villain. She makes McMurphy out to be the villain on many occasions as well, too. I want to get briefly to the styles in which Milos Forman uses for shooting One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So there's the zoom in on the facial expressions. I feel that's very important. The POV of McMurphy and how he sees other patients like Chief, like Danny DeVito's Martini, and Billy and other various patients. The zoom in on McMurphy after he loses the first World Series vote, and you also see his desperation of McMurphy's reflection in the television as well too, and then he starts making up the World Series on the go, on the fly, which is interesting. Another thing that is iconic about one of the shots inside of one of the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is you see McMurphy fenced in a lot of times.
Well, at some point he was fenced in with the chief actually when he got into a fight with one of the orderlies and there was a very interesting scene because it was in that scene that he found out that the chief was not actually deaf, that the chief was pretending to be deaf because he simply because he was antisocial.
So let's talk about the legacy of the film all these years later. So I feel that the early features for Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito as Martini are really great performances. Not only that, but Nurse Ratched as well too, I feel is a good performance as well too.
Yeah, well, I was most impressed with Jack's performance. I feel this was this film did touch upon it was it touched upon how people are labeled as crazy or have been labeled as crazy for the wrong reasons for they've been labeled as crazy for their quirks or their personal struggles. It also touches upon how people are placed in the wrong jobs. They're not suited for the jobs that they're hired for. Like we saw with Nurse Ratched, this is somebody who once again had zero empathy.
I feel that the film also represents the counterculture of the disenfranchised. I feel that most films inside the 1970s American landscape were talking about that, or late 60s, early 70s, so films like Easy Rider, Taxi Driver, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is definitely one of those films that talks about the counterculture of the disenfranchised. And if Nurse Ratched Louise Fletcher can be one of the villains, best villains of the film, I feel that one of the best heroes of the film, I feel for me, is Chief. Because of just the character and the progression that the character goes through at the very end.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And what was really interesting about Chief is this was somebody who was 6'7" in height, had a massive build, and who used his physical strength in times when it really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really interesting.
Okay, I think that we're going to leave the anniversary review there. So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is currently onto most of your digital platforms where you purchase your films. I actually bought it on DVD. It is reasonably priced onto DVD, so like $10 at places that still sell physical copies. So, I definitely recommend One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I feel that it's an important film. This is the second viewing that I did this year of the film, because I did one viewing beforehand just to get myself familiar with the film before we did our review.
I think this film is a timeless classic. It's a good example of how screwed up our society is in its way of thinking, how inverted things truly are. It's an eye opener. Let's put it that way.
I feel that this film champions the disenfranchised.
I agree.
All right. So on to next week's show, Danny and I have another anniversary review. We're going to be taking a look at our Charlie Chaplin film onto next week's episode. Thank you for joining me, Danny, for this anniversary review.
Thank you once again for having me, Remy. And I'm just going to finish up quickly by saying thumbs up for me for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I highly recommend it, people.
Thumbs up for me, too. All right. Have a good week of streaming a Bon Cinema.
Bon Cinema.